Number 72 in the hymnal and worship book. Number 72 in the hymnal and worship book.
Thank you. We come now in our time of worship to children's time. So kids, I'd like to invite you to come forward, and I'd like to invite Gabrielle and Mike to come forward as well to offer our children's time this morning.
All right, good morning, everyone. I've got a question for you this morning. I want to know, what kind of things do you guys wait for? We have to wait for a lot of things in this world. What do you wait for, and what do you look forward to coming? What do you think, Ben? Got anything you wait for? All right.
I wait for something in the mail that I love, and you love it too, and I love it.
Something in the mail that you love, and I love too. Well, you'll have to give me another hint.
It starts with L.
Starts with L. Do you think you know what he's talking about?
Legos.
Legos. Oh, yes. Those you have to wait for to come in the mail. Those are the best. Do you get Legos every day?
No.
Bummer. Well, it's special when you get them then, and you wait for it, right? All right, how about you, Lily? What do you wait for? Christmas, yes. Another wonderful day when we get things. Awesome. Your birthday, that's a great thing to wait for. How about the rest of you? Anything else you wait for? Amy, do you wait for anything?
Dessert.
Dessert. Oh, awesome. How about you, Markles? Do you wait for anything?
We're shy.
Shy this morning. Well, we love when we get that thing we're waiting for, and you know when it's coming, right, Ben? You know when the Legos are coming in the mail, and you gotta wait for them to come. All right, so one day, one of the Pharisees, one of the religious leaders of the Jews, came to Jesus, and he asked him, when does the kingdom of God come? This was the thing they were waiting for. All right, they were going to kick out the foreigners, and they were going to have their own rule. And Jesus said to them something that's very confusing. He said to them what we have right here. Can anybody read this for me? It's in this kind of fancy writing. Yes. The kingdom of God is in you. Now, that's very confusing, right? So if you were to say, Ben, when are the Legos going to get here? And I were to tell you the Legos are in you. What would you think of that? I think you'd be a little disappointed, wouldn't you? Because you're pretty darn sure that the Legos are not within you, right? But he said to this man, the kingdom of God is in you. You're waiting for the kingdom of God, he said, but it's in you. Now, that's extremely confusing, I think. So this is what we did. My sister-in-law painted this for us, and we put this sign by our door, because after you've been in school for too long, like I have, you like being confused. So every morning I read this, and I get really confused, and I wonder what it's supposed to mean, that the kingdom of God is within us. So you'll have to listen to the sermon this morning and try to figure out what it means that the thing you're waiting for is already within you, even though you're pretty sure that it's not. All right, Gab, would you like to pray for us?
All right, let's go ahead and pray. God, I thank you for church this morning, and I thank you that we can come to church with some questions and that we can hopefully try to find some answers together. And I thank you for your message and all that you have given us, even when it is confusing to us. And I pray that you would just shine some light in our hearts that we could understand what it means that the kingdom of God is in us. In your name, amen.
Hopefully the offering is in you as well. Alethea and Amy are going to help us collect the offering this morning, and Mark and Sally will be back with a little bit of music for our offertory. Please join me in a prayer for our offering this morning. God of abundance, we offer you these gifts in gratitude for your steadfast guidance in our lives. We pray that these resources will provide for the suffering, give food to the hungry, hope to the poor, and a spiritual presence to the needy. It is in all this that we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I am really excited to have Hope Brubaker sharing for our sermon time this morning. I've only known Hope for a few years, but I have been deeply moved by her willingness to live her life openly and honestly, sharing her faith and life journey with the belief that it will make an impact in the lives of those with whom she connects. It is an example that I think we all should strive to embody in our own lives, living so openly and honestly. I'd like to invite Paul McCormick up to read this morning's scripture passages, followed by Hope to bring our message this morning.
Reading this morning is from Luke, chapter 17, verses 20 through 37, and then 18, 1 through 8. It's in page 852 and 853 of your Bibles. Once Jesus was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, and he answered, "The kingdom of God is not coming with things that can be observed. Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is.' For in fact, the kingdom of God is among you." Then he said to the disciples, "The days are coming when you will long to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you will not see it. They will say to you, 'Look there, look here.' Do not go, do not set off in pursuit. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one side to the other, so will the Son of Man be in his day. But first he must endure much suffering and be rejected by this generation. Just as it was in the days of Noah, so too it will be in the days of the Son of Man." They were eating and drinking and marrying and not being given in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed all of them. Likewise, just as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But on the day that Lot left Sodom, it rained fire and sulfur from heaven and destroyed all of them. It will be like that on the day that the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, anyone on the housetop who has belongings in the house must not come down to take them away. And likewise, anyone in the field must not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Those who try to make their life secure will lose it. But those who lose their life will keep it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two in one bed. One will be taken and the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other left. Then they asked him, "Where, Lord?" And he said to them, "Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather." Then Jesus told a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge has said. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?"
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Thank you, Mike and Gabrielle, for starting it out so well. I found myself thinking, what are they going to do? Now they left it up to me. Not long ago, when I was reading this passage in Luke 17, it was like a light bulb blinked on for me. The Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the Jewish community, were asking Jesus when the kingdom of God was coming. Jesus responded to their question by saying, "It's not coming in the ways you expect. It's not coming in things that can be observed. It's not able to be predicted. It's like lightning, which suddenly shows up and then goes away. Life will be going on as normal. People will be eating and drinking, buying, selling, planting, building, marrying, and giving in marriage, just as it was in the days of Noah and Lot." And then he says, "But the fact is, the kingdom of God is among you." And if you look at the little footnote at the bottom of the page, it says, "within you." He is saying it's something spiritual, something internal, not a physical or external happening, not something that can be chased after in society or culture. It is something within you. This caused me then to ask another question. What's the kingdom of God like? I went to my Bible's concordance and I found some rather a long list of scriptures that referred to the kingdom of God. And some of it was from Jesus' own teaching. In Luke 13, these are the words of Jesus. "What is the kingdom of God like? And to what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in the garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the air made nests in its branches." And again he said, "To what shall I compare the kingdom of God? It is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it with 3 measures of flour until it was all leavened." In this passage, Jesus is saying the kingdom is something as small as a mustard seed, but when it is planted, it grows. It becomes something large. It provides refuge for others. Yeast has to be dissolved. It's completely gone. It's no longer itself. But it permeates and penetrates, causing a reaction. Its activity transforms. Does this say anything about spirituality? Does this say anything about what's within us? I found some verses in Paul's writings also. Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not food and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." That's internal. Food and drink is external. Righteousness, peace, joy is within us. In 1 Corinthians 4, 20 and 21, it says, "The kingdom depends not on talk, but on power, with love in the spirit of gentleness." The kingdom depends not on talk, but on power with love in the spirit of gentleness. So, now I ask a third question. How do we experience the kingdom of God and create a greater awareness of its reality in our lives? Mark 10 is actually Jesus' own words. And it says, "Truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." Children have a potential for greater faith than we as adults often have. I was reminded of this so vividly recently. My granddaughters participated in the spring play in their high school, and it was Peter Pan. Now, if you've heard the story of Peter Pan, he was a boy who didn't want to grow up. He always wanted to stay young. And then at the end of the story, Peter Pan realizes he can't stay young forever. He has to grow up. But what about this little Tinkerbell fairy? What's going to happen to her if he grows up? And his call was, what are we going to do about Tinkerbell? Can we keep her alive? And he said, well, maybe if you believe, we can keep Tinkerbell alive. And miraculously, a little child in the audience yelled out, I believe! And I found myself thinking, wow, a little child has a way of believing things that we as adults don't even want to believe. In our second passage this morning, and you might wonder why I included that, but Jesus tells this parable because he wants to teach his disciples and those who were listening about their need to pray always and not lose heart. Remembering, they were going through a period of oppression by the Roman government. And he says, ends up saying that in verse 7, will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? I am convinced that prayer, contemplation, and mindfulness is required to experience God's kingdom within us. Matthew 7:7 says, and these are Jesus' actual words, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who searches, finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. We humans, somehow or other, have within us that desire to feed our bodies, to keep them healthy, to keep them strong. Is there such a desire within us to keep our spirits alive and strong? I think there is, if we pay attention to it. While I was focusing on this challenge about the kingdom of God, I was reading a book by James Carroll entitled Christ Actually the Son of God for the Secular Age. I want to share some of his comments with you. His research was looking into how the early Christians who were so devastated after Jesus was crucified needed to face the reality of being his disciples in this time of unrest and oppression under Roman rule. And I quote James Carroll with these words, "The way to make the longed-for Jesus present and the way to make real the kingdom of God Jesus preached was to live as if it was true, here, now. Instead of merely longing for a fulfilling and peaceful future, early Christians were called to find the reign of God in the present movements. Eternal life is not what happens then, but what happens now. Then versus now amounts to the transformation of the meaning of time. Eternity is the opening of human perception, not an endless stretch of hours, days, eras, and eons. Eternity is not time without end. It is not time at all. The call is to find the sacred in the depth of life, not in the breadth and length of it. Jesus is shown preaching the kingdom of God he proclaimed as a living reality, already present to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Imitation of Jesus in how we live is how we experience God's kingdom and proclaim it to others. That's a mouthful. End of quote there. That's a mouthful. And I had to read it several times to let it really sink in. So I'm going to read it again for you. And this is a quote from James Carroll. The way to make the long for Jesus present and the way to make real the kingdom of God Jesus preached was to live as though it were true here and now. Instead of merely longing for a fulfilling and peaceful future, early Christians were called to find the reign of God in the present movement. Eternal life is not what happens then, but what happens now. Then versus now amounts to the transformation of the meaning of time. Eternity is an opening of human perception, not an endless stretch of hours, days, eras, and eons. Eternity is not time without end. It's not time at all. The call is to find the sacred in the depth of life, not in the breadth and length of it. Jesus is shown preaching the kingdom of God he proclaimed as a living reality already present to those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. Imitation of Jesus in how we live is how we experience God's kingdom and proclaim it to others. End of quote. John Dominic Crossan also says, and I quote him, the kingdom of God is not apocalyptic or social, but a challenge to individuals to lead a responsible, simple, radical life. End of quote. James Carroll, in his book, summarizes Jesus' life with these characteristics which he calls us to imitate. Jesus showed respect for everyone he met, regardless of status, gender, or state of being, the mentally ill, the leper, the tax collector. Jesus showed preference for service over power. He said, if you have done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you have done it unto me. He rejected violence. He taught, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. Turn the other cheek. Go the second mile. If someone asks for your coat, give them your cloak also. Jesus demonstrated by his life a spirituality in his life and worship of God as a primal source of meaning for him. He retreated to the mountain to pray. He took time out when the pressures were on him. In the garden, he communed with his Father, even though he felt totally alone. Jesus, somehow or other, in his life, he told about his suffering, which he would need to go through. And I have to ponder this when James Carroll says that Jesus understood that suffering is a part of life. I've experienced it. I know it. And there's many things that we learn through suffering. We don't learn otherwise. Jesus taught to trust and have faith, not to worry. He stressed thankfulness when the 10 lepers came to him and only one returned to give him thanks. His comment was, "Where are the other 9? Jesus demonstrated communion over loneliness. He reached out to others. He sat around the table. He went to Zacchaeus' house for dinner. Communion over loneliness. When do we, in times of loneliness, go and seek out someone else and be there for company for them to help with our own loneliness? He saw death as not as an end, but as a beginning, a new life. He was at home in the absolute, the pure, the perfect, the limited, real truth, but he was also at home in the unknown of what was yet to happen. This is what we are to be as imitators of Christ. James Carroll says, and I quote, "Yet in matters of ultimate importance, even the most ordinary and comprised of humans has the inborn capacity to be like Jesus." End of quote. Being imitators of Jesus is the most important way to experience the kingdom of God. In conclusion, the kingdom of God is within each of us. It is within you. Let us face up to the reality and live in the eternity now. Our song that we sang was, "Eternity isn't long enough to sing all God's praises. Start now. Eternity is now." This week, as I was weeding my flower beds, I enjoyed the fragrances of the flowers, the lavender, the mint, which emitted their fragrances as I brushed against them. I found myself wondering if my life was fragrant to others, or was I at times repelling, like the thistles or the stinging nettles, making people want to avoid contact with me? It's a challenge. What kind of fragrances are we giving to others? I pray that we will experience the effects of God's kingdom in us, like the growth of a mustard seed, and the permeating, penetrating, and transforming action of yeast. Ask and keep asking. Search and keep searching. Knock and keep knocking, and you shall receive. God bless us all. Thank you.
Please turn in your hymnal and worship book to 569, Day by Day. We'll have Krista play through this once, and then we'll sing it twice.
As we wind down our worship service, we'll move into a time of announcements. But first, I wanted to acknowledge any birthdays that we might have at this time of the year. Has anyone had a birthday recently or have one in the next couple of days? Fran? All right. Doug, back there. Doug Miller.
Laura
DeLillo. Laura does. Rodney does? Oh, wow. We've got a whole bunch to celebrate. Oh, Brendan back there, too. Wow. It's the time for birthdays. Well, let's sing for these people. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear friends. Happy birthday to you. Are there other announcements this morning before we end our time together that people would like to share?
Directly after church, we'll be gathering the children in the foyer, and we're going to head over to the park for some under the pavilion games. It's our weather, it's not cooperating for outdoor games today, but children will be there, and then at 11:30, parents and younger siblings are invited over for pizza. So this is our end of Sunday school celebration.
I'm Carol from Baker. It's time to renew your subscription to the Mennonite magazine. It's a monthly magazine. It's $37 a year. If you don't know what it is, I've never seen it. There's 5 copies in the library. Go down and check them out. Let me know within a week or 2 at the most if you want to start receiving it or if you want to renew. You can also tell me if you're getting it now and you don't want to read it. Please make your check out to University of Mennonite Church and give it to me. Thank you.
Adults are invited downstairs for a casual baby shower for Mark and Sally as we celebrate the approaching of the new birthday.
Speaking of really young people in our church, we have literally about a dozen people who volunteer to staff our nursery, and our numbers are going down. Andy and Lindsay are going to be leaving our roles pretty soon, and a few others leave. So if you've been denying yourself the great pleasure of taking care of our kids for an hour on Sunday mornings, once a quarter, don't do that any longer, and let me know that you'd like to volunteer. Thanks.
There are a few other announcements in our bulletin, including that we get the privilege of having Rabbi David Ostrich with us next weekend for our Sunday morning worship service. It says a lot, I think, about a Mennonite congregation that can have a rabbi give a sermon. I think that's a special part of who we are here as a congregation. And there is a fellowship meal immediately following that service next weekend. Anything else? All right, if you would, if you're able, please stand then for our benediction, followed by our sending song. Creator God, God of rain and God of thistles and flowers, be with us as we leave this place, reminded that the kingdom of God is within us. Go in peace.
Hallelujah.